Vada Dadi. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Rana Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I go with Priman and the Shri Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, I go with Priman and the All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narutamam devim sarasvatim vyasam dado jaya mudirayet idam bhagavatam nama punanam brahma samhitam utama shloka charitam chakara bhagavan rishi nishreyasyasya lokasya dhanya sastayanam mahat. Continuing readings from Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 24. Or text number tad abhigyopi bhagavan sarvatma sarvadarshina prashraya vanto prachad prashraya vanto prachad Vridham Nanda Purogaman Vridham Nanda Purogaman Tadabhigyopi Bhagavan Sarvatma Sarvadarshina Prarashravanant To prachad, prashraya vanato prachad, vridhananda purogaman, vridhananda purogaman, tadabhigyopi bhagavan. Sarvatma Sarvadarshina Prashray Vanato Prachad Vridhananda Purogaman purport by His Divine Grace is the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, being the omniscient super soul, Supreme Lord Krishna already understood the situation, yet he still humbly inquired from the elders, headed by his father, Nanda Maharaj. Purport, Lord Krishna was eager to enact his pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill and defeating the false pride of Indra, thus he cleverly inquired from his father about the imminent sacrifice. We also have text 3.
Katyatam me pita koyam sambramova upagata kimphalam kasyavo desha kenava sadyate maka.
Lord Krishna said, my dear father, kindly explain to me, what is this great endeavor of yours all about? What is it meant to accomplish? If this is a ritual sacrifice, then for whose satisfaction is it intended? And by what means is it going to be executed? So, before I begin, I'd just like to ask the blessings of all the devotees here, your well wishes, Mina, everything.
Umagyana timirandasya gyanandana salakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri grave namaha. Sri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kdamayam dadati swapadantikam vanshakalpatru vishtra kripa shindu bevacha patitanan pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Text number 2 repeated. Being the omniscient super soul, Supreme Lord Krishna already understood the situation, yet he still humbly inquired from the elders headed by his father, Nanda Maharaj. So today is also the disappearance day of Sri Madhvacharya. It's a very important day for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. After all, we are in the Burma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we'll speak a little bit on the text and also about Sri Madhvacharya. I have a few notes here, if I can find it. So the first point, we've started a new chapter, worshiping Govardhan Hill, such a beautiful pastime. This is one of our favorite pastimes. This is one of the pastimes for which Krishna is most well known, especially in India. Everyone has a very special place in their heart for Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And for myself personally, this is always one of my favorite festivals in Kartik time. I recall one time here we had a beautiful Govardhan ceiling made of banners. And it's a pastime wherein all of the devotees, a number of things are happening. They are perfectly sheltered by Krishna. And this is something that this conditioned soul is always needing and requiring. We all need shelter. We need, the more we advance, the more we realize how insignificant we are and how powerful the material energy is. The material energy is empowered by Krishna. And Krishna is all-powerful, so it's hardly, the conditioned soul hardly stands a chance against Maya, against this potency for illusion, for bewildering. So the more we advance, the more we realize how much we need Krishna's shelter and special protection, special mercy, special empowerment. And we had a discussion yesterday about demigods. The devotees require, I'm not saying in reference to the devatas per se, but we require assistance in our journey in bhakti. When we try to serve Krishna directly, it's not actually the process. Although it's a little bit of our pride when we want to directly approach Krishna. Because as an insignificant jivatma, we don't have that qualification. And we can put a lot of energy into just trying to develop my relationship with Krishna. But unless we are blessed and empowered by the Lord's dear devotees, our efforts will not fructify. So taking shelter of Krishna means taking shelter of Krishna's different expansions and energies in devotees, whose function is to help bring us there. And we have coming up the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. I also got the good fortune to spend some time in Eka Chakra. And we find that the mercy from Nityananda Prabhu is very special. It's a very special flavor of mercy from Krishna. That's declared that you must get this mercy of Nitai if you want to be successful in bhakti. Unless you get the mercy of Nityananda, then you can't get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Now why is that? One thought is that Mahaprabhu's mission is to spread this love of Godhead, Krishna consciousness throughout the entire world. But again, we don't approach the Lord directly. We try to link up with the servants. And who's the commander-in-chief in Mahaprabhu's mission to deliver the entire Kali Yuga? It's Nityananda Prabhu. So if we engage ourselves in the service and develop a loving relationship with Nityananda, we find that the blessings of Mahaprabhu are already there, included, and they're coming down. So we have, and Nityananda Prabhu is also the original spiritual master. So we have these different plenary features of Godhead. We have Lord Chaitanya in five features. Prabhupada says these are all Bhagavan. Bhagavan means his various energies. So Prabhupada is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. These all constitute the absolute truth. We have to approach Krishna through his energies. And then we have the, of course, the spiritual master who is offering the Lord's shelter by guiding us, being the intermediary between us and Krishna. And the point came up yesterday, one who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. One who's the devotee of my devotee, that's my devotee. That's a verse from what, Adi Purana, maybe, Padma Purana. Ye me bhaktas chitejana, na me bhaktas chitejana, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas. Something, bhakta uttama. This is the real devotee. The real devotee, he doesn't directly approach me, but he serves. So that is the guru also giving that shelter, and also the Vaishnavas, advanced devotees, for the progressing aspirant for pure bhakti. It's not going to be an easy journey. It's not an easy thing. It's not a cheap thing. To obtain Krishna prema, this is what all of the great rishis, the devatas, the maharshis, rajarshis, they're aspiring for that. And who are we? What are we? We're these. We come from bad conditioning. Manda sumanda mateya. The Kali Yuga, the Prabhupada says, everyone is very bad. The populace in this condition is bad. We don't have qualification. Our history, our background is really bad, relatively speaking, when you compare it to different ages. Standards of Vedic life. The Kali Yuga is a joke. It's embarrassing. And we're right in the mix. We're right in the middle of it, most of us. We were born in the darkest of ignorance, conditioned by sinful activity. More or less demoniac mentality. Yeah, we have to see it. We have to see in the proper way, because that will awaken the humility. If we think, yes, yeah, I'm a Westerner, I'm a Western devotee, so, you know, I'm special. No, that's not the mood of true devotee. True devotee feels, and we see in the pastimes of also Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri, how the most advanced devotees are showing this spirit, this mood of what it means to actually be a devotee. How they relate with the Lord, how they relate with the Lord's devotees. They are exceptionally humble. So that is the mood for those of us who are coming from the West. That has to be the aspiration. And Mahaprabhu is approached in that humble mood. And in that way, he becomes inclined to dispense that mercy. So the point was that we are coming from these challenged circumstances that we've been born into, we've been brought up into in this Kali Yuga. And to recognize that is not actually a problem, it actually becomes a great fortune when we develop humility from that. Because the problem, obstacle for all these great personalities is there's still some feeling of importance and position, and that actually will block the ability to call out feelingly for shelter. And that's the point that we're trying to make, that utter desperation can come when one feels, I am useless, I am incapable. Then we can take shelter devotee of the Lord, the Guru, and the Vaishnavas. So the point related to this text is that Krishna says, it's mentioned here that Krishna humbly inquired from the elders. So this struck me. I was recently in Mayapur and I took some courses. There's a nice Institute of Spiritual Culture inaugurated by Her Grace Devaki, Devi Dasi.
And we discuss culture. What is culture? There's two kinds of culture. There's spiritual culture and there's material culture. A spiritual culture is guided by the desire to please the Lord and the Lord's devotees. Material culture is guided by the desire to enjoy the senses to the utmost and to disregard anyone who comes in our way. So these are polar opposites. And therefore, in India, traditionally, and to some degree in certain places still, that Vedic culture is there. The remnants of that Vedic spiritual culture are still there, wherein our atmosphere facilitates the development of bhakti versus this material culture, which facilitates ego, facilitates putting ourselves in the center, trying to be independent, trying to be the best. We can see this is the opposite of the ahankar, nirahankar. Ahankar means ego, and nirahankar means without ego, without this false ego, namaha, without ego. So, in the spiritual culture, then this is the mood of humbly inquiring from the elders. So, Mataji was making nice points how different ashrams and positions in life, she also gave a course on vanaprastha ashram. This is the principle. When there is respect, we can receive knowledge from superiors in a spiritual culture. When there's the material culture of disrespect, how do we treat elders? We ignore them. We don't take them very seriously. We don't. What are they going to do for me? So this is why one of the reasons that we find a vanaprastha ashram is difficult to find, because there may not be the fabric of respect for the elders in Vedic culture. And people, individuals are trained to respect so much such persons because they are full of wisdom, life experience. And this is one of the challenges that we face, newer devotees face. We don't have experience. We may have inspiration, enthusiasm, good association, but the experience means a lot. So Krishna himself, as the Supreme Person, he's giving the example how he's humbly inquiring from the elders. In the Krishna book also, it's worded nicely. I don't have it here. And Prabhupada mentions how he very submissively, you know, approached senior members. So that was one point that struck me, just because there is, I do notice when I spend a lot of time in India and then I come back to the West. And that's why it's helpful to be in India for some time. Prabhupada encouraged that he wanted his disciples also to visit India to learn how to be cultured. Because we have this conditioning, and even though we're devotees, we're in our ISKCON bubble, we're trying to be aloof from the Western world and society, does thought patterns, behaviors, subtle conceptions, they do infiltrate us a lot. And we do get contaminated by that. And we bring that into the sphere of bhakti. So this is a little bit how I'm reflecting on this main text today. And again, going back to the point of how we require this shelter. And we have the great acharyas, the great previous teachers, who by their teachings, they illumine the path of bhakti, impure bhakti. And today being the disappearance day of one of our great acharyas, I felt we are obliged to lend our ears to hear a little something about Sri Madhvacharya, some very, very amazing pastimes and history, if we're not so familiar. As we mentioned, our lineage, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted the Madhva Sampradaya, the teachings of Madhvacharya, and there are certain elements of this sampradaya that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically highlighted and incorporated into our Gaudiya line. And there's also some very interesting pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita of when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and met such followers, Madhvacharya. So I'll just read a little bit about a few key points about his life. He appeared in 1234 AD in Udupi, Karnataka, South India. He was considered an incarnation of Vayu, the wind god. He had an unusually strong physique and extraordinary intellectual power. So also yesterday on this discussion of the demigods, the demigods are not just some, this sun god, wind god, they're just these people, they're mixed devotees, no, the demigods are very serious devotees. Here we have Vayu, he's appearing as Madhvacharya, very powerful acharya. So we have to be careful when we are, you know, discussing the devatas. They are not some just Madhvacharya, an extremely powerful pure devotee. So there's some pastimes of him exhibiting this strength. He would be fighting off tigers. He had about the strength of 30 men. He could do all sorts of incredible feats. And he appeared with a mission to fight and defeat Shankar's Mayavad impersonal philosophy. This was his mission at that time, and therefore he spread this Dvaita to the living entity and the Supreme Lord. By giving a pure interpretation of Vedanta Sutra, he promoted pure theism. He named his innovative Shastric explanations Dvaita Dvaitavad, pure dualism. And this is dear to the Lord because this establishes bhakti. In India, in many places, so many Hindu societies, there's still this mood to try to lump everything together and amalgamate different philosophies and teachers. Okay, you worship Prabhupada, that's great. We worship Vivekananda. They're both gurus. And what is you do bhakti, we do meditation. So that's very prominent this time, but even that time, Shankaracharya's expansion was very prominent. And this actually destroys bhakti. It's very dangerous. So his mission was to fight and defeat this. And he did that in a very astounding way. So after Shankaracharya previously toured India spreading this impersonalism, Madhvacharya also traveled the length and breadth of India preaching personal theism and devotion. He defeated innumerable Jains, Buddhists, Mayavadis, atheists, logicians, and agnostics. Later on we know that actually if we study our parampara, our disciplic succession, we have an interesting phenomenon. Let's recount we have Lord Krishna himself. He imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahma. Brahma taught Narad. Narad taught Vyasadev. And Vyasadev taught Narada? No, I already said. Narada's the guru of Vyasadev. After Vyasadev, in our parampara listed by Prabhupada, which he took from Bhaktisiddhanta in our Bhagavad Gita, Madhvacharya. There's actually a big jump between Vyasadeva and Madhvacharya, thousands of years. So how is that? Well, Madhvacharya, with the hope to act, because Vyasadeva is still living, it said, in the Himalayas, and he needed some confirmation for his commentary, so he wanted to go directly to Vyasadeva. So he actually went to Vyasadeva in the Himalayas and he met Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva blessed him in his commentary. He gave him a Shalagram Shila and he approved his Bhagavad Gita commentary. So therefore, we have that direct connection with Vyasadeva through Madhvacharya. And then there's a very beautiful story how we've heard of Udupi Krishna. Udupi is the city where Madhvacharya hails from. And one time he was always wrapped in pure love of Krishna. He was meditating on Krishna one time near the sea there, the western side of India. And he saw a boat in the distance that was, you know, in great difficulty. It was not going to, you know, go to the destination properly. Some big calamity was going on. So he guided the boat to the coast. I think it was on its way to Dwarka. And it happened to be a chandan merchant. So this Gopi chandan that we use, decorating the symbols on our bodies. Then this chandan merchant was so grateful that he said, what can I give you? And Madhvacharya said, okay, I can take some chandan, that's okay. So they had a huge chunk of chandan that they were going to give. And immediately when they started transferring it, it broke and the deity of Krishna came out. And that's Udupi Krishna, self-manifesting deity from this chandan. And so that's worshipped by the Madhvacharya line very, very carefully. So I thought we would just review also his primary points, which also we find throughout Prabhupada's books. Sri Madhvacharya's 9 teachings. 1. Bhagavan Sri Krishna alone is the supreme absolute truth, one without a second. 2. He is the object of knowledge in all the Vedas. Vedanta vid Veda evacham, Krishna says. I am what is actually searched for in the Vedas. 3. The universe is real, satya. Keep in mind that all these points are countering the impersonalism, the Mayavadi theory, the Mayavadi concoction. 4. The difference between Ishwara, God, Jiva, soul, and matter are real. 5. Jiva souls are all by nature the servants of the Supreme Lord Hari. We can see how Prabhupada has imbibed all of these points and given us the, you know, shlokas, the Sanskrit, verses to support all of these. There are 2 categories of jivas, liberated and illusioned. 7. Liberation means attaining the lotus feet of Bhagavan Krishna. In other words, entering an eternal relationship of service to the Supreme Lord. 8. Pure devotional service to Krishna is the only way to attain this liberation. And 9. The truth may be known by pratyaksha, direct perception, anuman, inference, and shabda, spiritual sound, or Vedic authority. And another final point is that Sri Madhvacharya serves as Madhavi Gopi in Radha Govinda's eternal Vrindavan pastimes. So he also has this Braja Swarup. So there's also a beautiful section, as we mentioned, CC, Mahaprabhu touring South India. And Mahaprabhu's mission is the same, to spread the cult of Krishna Bhakti. And that's also our mission. And that's why actually we're here in the West, in the Western world. There's different kinds of seva, right? There's vapu and vani. Vapu means the personal association and vani means the instructions. So the dham, Sri Dham Mayapur, Sri Vrindavan, the eternal abode is there. We could consider that in one sense the vapu, direct association. But there's also vani. And Mahaprabhu's order is for us to spread this Krishna conscious movement in the Western world. Because the Western world is considered, everyone is looking up to the West. Despite, as we mentioned, there's no culture. It's a very contaminating time. Still, the whole world is trying to imitate. We see it all in most developing countries. Anything from the West, the US, or the, it's just like, wow. So that's due to the modes of nature, the tamagun, you know, thinking something that's good is bad and thinking something bad is good. But it's an opportunity, and Prabhupada took that let's spread Krishna consciousness in the West, then everyone will want to follow that. So that is done by the spreading the Sankirtan movement. And the constant chanting of the holy name is our highest sadhana. And that's the fruit that we get by, as we said, good association, the blessings of seniors, and the instructions of Guru, and following the teachings of all the great acharyas, including Madhvacharya. These were a few thoughts for today. Let's see if anyone wanted to comment or question on anything. That one wasn't working for some reason. Yeah. I think we can all hear you. Yeah, I know, but...
Hari. Thank you, Prabhu. Two things. When you mentioned the teachings of Madhvacharya, these nine principles that actually were taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and expanded to 10. Mm. So it's the Dasa Mula. Mm. I think the 10th one is that the Bhagavatam is the prime source of proof. It's the Prameya, you know, like that. So, but same teachings, basically. So that's there, that Dasa Mula. One thing that you mentioned in your class that sort of, you know, struck me is this culture of respect that you were highlighting, you know, in the courses that you took in Vaishnava culture in Mayapur with Devaki Mataji. And the challenge that is there, especially for new devotees, but, you know, to have the respect towards elders. And I'm thinking that not only new devotees, but in terms of the challenges that is there for neophyte, for Kanishta Adhikari, which in one sense is many of us fall into that, you know, space in our society like that. And on the top of that, the culture of disrespect, disregard that is pervading in, you know, these modern societies, you know, like that. How is possible, or what things are there that one have to highlight when there's actually not much of a culture of respect, you know, in our modern society, and it actually sort of seeps into our Vaishnava society, ISKCON society in one sense. There is the younger generation look after the older generation, for example, but in the older generation among peers, we also don't have a very strong culture of respect. You know, it's a cultivation, but, you know, it tends to be, the tendency is that it's very specific. You respect a particular person, but you may not respect this one, and, you know, like that. And so it becomes a little bit of a struggle in that area.
Yeah. I have one thought on that. I notice in myself, as Westerners, especially Americans, the American is a very unique false ego. Right? When you travel, you go internationally, you see many different cultures there, and even with devotees, there's so many different devotees communities, they all have a very unique psychophysical conditioning. Like I was hearing some devotees from Russia, And their point is that in Russia, we are taught, we are raised to be afraid of authority, of power. That the mood is very, like, and we may notice Russians, they have a different mood. They're not very forthcoming, they're not very assertive. And the American mood is totally different. We're like, we're there to, you know, take charge, be in the front. You know, we're not shy. So this American ego is very challenging. It's very confrontational compared to this Vedic Dharma, where we see the traditional how, and so it's actually meant there has to be the training. There has to be the training from childhood. How children are trained that this is important to respect your parents. They touch their feet. They go to the teacher. They bring something. So the whole culture has to be developed so that from the beginning, those impressions. And Mataji is relating a lot of anecdotes how, you know, she's shocked in, because she spends a lot of time in Bangladesh. Bangladesh is, you know, Bengal, it's the original place from which most of Mahaprabhu's associates came. And there, the culture is still very much intact. Vaishnav culture. She says when she goes to Mayapur, it's like coming to the West from Bengal. So that Vaishnav culture is very purely retained there. And the things that she sees, you know, in the Western world, just shocking. The way, like in some temples, how a new devotee relates with like a Prabhupada disciple and things like that. And the language, everything. So for me, I see it as a training, but a Shastric training also. We can't go back in the past, but what we can do is study Bhagavatam and study the scripture, which gives us the model. And not just something theoretical, but then applying that. So if we go very deep into these Vedic literatures that Prabhupada gave us, then we'll see what is it supposed to be like. Without that, we still carry this very subtle, it's envy. It's envy. And there's envy toward juniors that comes out in a particular way, envy toward peers, envy toward seniors. This is mentioned also, you know, respect towards juniors, how that comes out, respect toward peers and respect towards seniors. As we know, for seniors, you know, the general, and this is mentioned in Bhagavatam, that when you see someone superior, you should offer respect and you should hear from them. With peers, you should make friendship, and with juniors, you should try to help them. But when the envy is strong, when there's juniors, we kind of neglect them. Or we treat them harshly. Or we try to put them down, even publicly. Even, you know, we're disrespectful. That's our ego. That's actually a subtle form of envy. Then peers, when there's envy, rather than friendship, it's competition. They might get more than this than me or that. That's the way the mind is. And then for seniors, rather than the respect, there's this yeah, not competition, but a disrespect. We don't appreciate. So anyhow, I see that from wherever we came from now, if we go deeply into what Prabhupada's given us, which we should be doing, studying Prabhupada's books, then we do get that imprint, that samskara develops in our consciousness. Go ahead.
So this situation that naturally we need and we want our younger leaders and new generations to take up positions of leadership, and you know, the natural desire is to empower these new generations to actually take more and more responsibilities. Sometimes, because the Western culture is when you get an older person, you know, and when they start to get older, then you have to get rid of them, in one sense. Yeah. You have to put them away. Sometimes you hear some older devotees saying, well, I was sent to pasture, you know, long time ago. we don't want to deal with this person, or we put it in an old house, you know, like that. So getting rid of the order, and, you know, in order to bring the newer, and, you know, the disconnect there in terms of this culture of respect, you know, and, you know, in one sense, you're losing a lot of wisdom and experience. Mm-hmm. We see that, you know, how many Prabhupada disciples we have, mm-hmm. that, you know, are around, and that, you know, it's not very together, this area of respect, you know, and like that.
Yeah, there's two sides, because on the one hand, the seniors, they have that wisdom and knowledge, and naturally they're in the superior position to impart that. But she's also making the point that it's also their duty to reach out and help younger, newer devotees. And that's part of the Vanaprastha Ashram that she sees, that unless they have that willing to give spirit, then the newer generation, they don't feel connected, right? The newer generation needs to have respect. But what is that respect? It allows you to hear from someone. So then they need to also take that step of extending themselves. Then that nice fabric relationship will be there between the juniors and seniors. But if they are, you know, maybe just content or not willing or not so interested for whatever reason to reach out to the youngers, then there's still that gap. So it need come from both sides. And then that smooth transition also from management, from power, from all these things, because that's also, you know, to empower the next generation is totally required. And, you know, in Vedic culture, at a certain age, one gives up their responsibilities. They don't hold on till the very end. So, I see two aspects of that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, wonderful class, and I really appreciate your answers in answering Subal's questions. I'll narrow your points down to, the first thing I appreciate about these verses is that it says Krishna knows everything, and still he inquired to the elders. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that Krishna knows everything, mm-hmm. but he act like he doesn't know anything, mm-hmm. so he inquires. We, on the other hand, we don't know anything, but we act like we know everything. Therefore, this tendency to inquire goes away. Like David Madhava said in his seminar recently, very profound seminar, he said this tendency to inquire to devotees goes down when you come to Krishna Dharma and Krishna consciousness. So anyway, that's an appreciation point. You are also mentioning advanced devotees, superiors, and elders, like this whole discussion was talking about. And we hear from the previous pastime that when we hear the word advanced devotee or superior elder, we hear that it doesn't mean somebody is advanced in position or information, but in disposition and transformation. The wise were an authority, even though they didn't have the information. And so also we hear the word elder. Now that you were describing the word elders with elders. Now the Bhagavatam also has another perspective of what the definition of elder means. luckily, I had the opportunity to view this verse before coming in, so I'm glad this discussion was based on this point. So we see that Prabhupada, and the verse, I would just quote Prabhupada, but the verse is also saying the same thing. He's elaborating on the verse. So I'll just quote two verses from Prabhupada. He describes who an elder person is. It doesn't mean age, but one's love, one's, you know, disposition. That's what an elder is, and you could be an elder in any situation. So in the first canto, chapter 19, verse 26 of the Bhagavatam, it's described that Shukadeva Goswami gave Bhagavatam. He was chosen to give Bhagavatam, even though he was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And all the sages were older than him, but he was the elder. And so Prabhupada says in his purport, in the first canto, chapter 19, verse 26, he says, a person is honored for his achievements and not for advanced age. A person can be older by experience and not by age. Sri Shukadeva Goswami was by his knowledge more experienced than all the sages present there. although he was only 16 years old. And so there's another purport Prabhupada mentions. This is describing when the demigods considered Vishwarupa their nephew. They put them, they lost Brihaspati, and to replace Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, they put somebody younger in place, Vishwarupa. And Prabhupada, in his purport, he quotes this in the sixth canto, chapter 7, verse 33. He says, "It is said that one may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he is senior in knowledge." And so we see so many pastimes. Hiranyakashipu was an older person. Prahlad was an elder person. And even in this pastime of Govardhan Hill, we see that Indra was an older person, whereas Krishna, disguised himself as a seven-year-old, was an elder person. And so Buddha, he spoke it very beautiful. He says, "A man is not an elder merely because his head is gray. His age may be ripe, but he is called old in vain. He in whom there is truth, virtue, love, restraint, moderation, he who is free from impurity and is wise, he is called an elder. Kiba Vipra Kibi Nyasi Suja Kene No Ye Krishna Tava Veta Se Guru Hoy." You could be an elder in any position depending on your love. And we see our politicians, there are elders, but where are they? In prison. Why? They have no love. They have this false ego. "I know so many things, but where are you? Where is your knowledge getting used?" So my question is that pretty much there's one senior Prabhupada disciple who was here maybe a few months ago. He pretty much answered my question. And this is a question that that comes up among devotees. And something I really appreciated. We see that, and he answered it. We see the devotees, they're respectful and they can learn anything from anyone, whether you're a child. Even King Rahugana, when he was criticizing Jalabhata, Jalabhata spoke words of wisdom. And he was like, wow. He glorified Jalabhata. He said, "I thought you were an idiot. You're poor and, you know, you're dirty. You know, I thought you were an idiot." So he started glorifying everyone. King Rahugana, he says, "I could take wisdom from even children, avidutes, beggars." He listed so many people who are my elders. He respected everyone. And so this is what Mukunda Datta, Prabhupada disciple, very scholarly, very beautiful singer, he says something I really appreciated, that he says, "We may not be able to learn everything from someone, but we can always learn something from everyone." And so we see the Vaishnavas, they see everyone as their elders because Krishna is situated with everyone's heart. So what do you say to somebody who says, you know, "Who my seniors are my Shiksha Guru and maybe some of my God brothers, but that's it, you know, close my ears, you know, I don't want to hear anybody else, I don't want to get contaminated. Even though I'm going to work and hearing Prajapa, people talking about sex, drugs, and so many things all the time, that's going to have an effect. But no, I don't want to hear anybody but my. So what do you say to somebody who says, you know, who even explains to all the Vaishnavas, "Just only listen to your Diksha Guru and maybe some of your God brothers or me"? What do you say to that, you know? What do you advise?
Well, you answered it. You don't have
Mukunda Datta's answers. Yeah.
Something from everyone, but you can learn. You can learn anyway. However you worded it. This is the expertise of a devotee. Devotee's daksha expert. So expert means he can get some honey, some nectar from anywhere. Every situation in life and every person, we can get some nectar. But often we're looking for the poison, right? The flies looking for the... So for us, for everyone, we want to get some dirt. But really they have that honey. So that we can... The more humble we are, the more advanced we are, then we just see good qualities in others that help us. We can... When you appreciate something, you get that same thing. At the same time, it's not wrong that devotees have particular sources from which they regularly hear, and that's also okay. Because sometimes also you can hear from so many people that you can get confused. So to have a few reliable sources, devotees that one hears from, that's also good. But there shouldn't be any rudeness or disregard, neglect for others. Okay, thanks a lot, Prabhu. I think we'll have to conclude after Jitendra Prabhu. It'll be the last.
Okay. I remember Srila Prabhupada saying, a fool thinks everybody's like himself. So we kind of judge things according to our perspective. Prabhupada was going through the security at the airport with Indraduma Swami, and the TSA, or you know, the security people, they gave Prabhupada a real hard time. And Indraduma Swami was enraged, and he wanted to take him out, you know. And Prabhupada just said, "No, they just have no training, you know." Another thing is, I was in Thailand with Basha Ghosh, and we were going through the airport, and we were a little confused. And then he goes, "Just walk like an American." And I'm going, "What is that supposed to mean?" You know, here we are supposed to be, you know, getting away from those designations. But it just kind of struck me that he would say something like that.
Yeah, actually, the American psychology, despite its very abominable pitfalls, anything can be used in Krishna service. That's our philosophy. So even Prabhupada saw that and he used it. And to my knowledge, it may be biased. It may be, you know, influenced by my false ego. But the American devotees were able to do significant preaching work. You know, part of that spirit. Prabhupada said, "What's the use of being American if you don't do something big for Krishna?" So at least that anything can be used, that can also be used. And that seemed to have been quite successful. So it's a delicate, as they say, double-edged sword. So we should be warned. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nithai Gaur Premanandi,